It's good to be here, and I'm glad you're all here this morning. My name is Pauline Santos, and for those who don't know you, yes, I come from 6,000 miles away. I grew up in Ireland, and I married Brian at the back there almost 11 years ago, and I've been in America since. And yes, hopefully you can understand everything I say this morning. I have lost some of my accent, much to David's disgust, but I've had to slow my speech down because I got tired of people looking at me because they don't understand what I'm saying if I speak too quickly or if I use words that I grew up using at home. And if you ask my husband, he'll tell you I hate to repeat myself. So I have changed somewhat. There's some things I can't change, like when I go to the store, I still use a trolley. I don't use a cart, and I put my groceries in the boot of my car, not the trunk. So, and because I have kids, I've had to change a lot of words too, because things like, you know, kids need to run to the potty. If they ran up to you and asked you where your loo was, you might not know what they're talking about. Okay, so I've had to change quite a bit. So hopefully you'll understand everything I've got to say this morning, and I guess more importantly, you'll hopefully hear something from the Lord this morning in what I have to say. So we're going to look at a parable this morning. We're going to look at the parable in Luke chapter 12, if you guys want to turn with me. It's in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So what's this parable about? It could be about the second coming. It's like the master has left the house and we're waiting for him to come. Isn't that what we're all waiting for as Christians? I think sometimes we forget that. It's like he is coming back again. He's coming back, and what a glorious day that's going to be. If you look at this parable along with the parable that runs just after it, and then you compare it to the parables in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, it's quite a long chapter, and Jesus is talking about the Great Tribulation, and he's talking about the end of the age, and then he goes on to tell these parables. You would definitely think this parable is about the second coming. But if you looked at it just on its own, it could be about that, or it could be about some other things. So we're going to look at some other things that it might possibly be about. It could be about waiting for the Lord to turn up. I'm sure there's lots of situations that you could tell me about that you're waiting for the Lord to turn up. You guys, some of you are praying for healing. Some of you are praying for breakthroughs. Like as many as you are in here, you've got situations you could tell me about that you're praying for. And you probably have several things you're praying for. You're waiting for him to turn up, to show up. I'd like to tell you a story about one time when I was waiting for him to turn up for me. I was, I don't know if you all know, but the south of Ireland is separate from Northern Ireland. Northern Ireland belongs to Great Britain. And I went up to Northern Ireland to train as a midwife. And shortly after I was up there, I was going to be placed in the community with a community midwife. I'd have to follow her around, and then eventually I'd do some visits on my own. So I needed a car, but I had a car. But my car from the south had a red number plate on it, or license plate, as you call it. And that's before they became part of the EU. So they have red number plates. In Northern Ireland, you've got yellow number plates. So guess who's driving the cars with the red number plates when you're up there? It's the people from the south. And 99% chance is you're Catholic. So if you go into a Protestant area up there, it's not a good thing. So I knew it was coming up that I was going to end up having to go into some areas that probably wouldn't be safe to bring my car with a red number plate. because when I came out, my car could be torched. Anything could happen. So I was like, okay, God, I need to buy another car. So I purchased another car, just an old car. But over there, cars are really expensive. So I have two car payments. I have rent I have to pay and living expenses, and I paid all this. And I'm like, okay, God, I got £5 to live on for the rest of the month. How do I do this? And my dad had always taught us to be good stewards of our money. So I'm like, I don't want to borrow money of people that I can't pay back. So how am I going to do this? Of course, I'm praying, and I'm like, I've got 100 scenarios that God could show up and sort this out for me, and I'm telling him how he can do it. But I keep praying, and after church one day, I left and was driving home, and I'm praying again, going, okay, God, how are you going to do this? Because I'm not going to eat if you don't do something for me here. And the word tithe dropped into my heart. And you guys will probably think, tithe? You've got no money, so what are you going to tithe on? But I've been taught from a young age that tithing is just part of what you do as a Christian. Everything you have belongs to God. So when you get money, you just give them back the first 10% or more. That's just what you do. It's just like praying or reading your Bible. It's just part of what you do as a Christian. So I thought, in my heart, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Since I came up here, I haven't tithed into this church that I'm now regularly attending. So, okay, I'll do that next Sunday. I'll tithe. So anyway, go home, whatever, sorting myself out, ready for the next week of work. And my dad calls, or they ring over there. My dad rings. And he's chatting away, and he says, oh, yeah, we had so-and-so over dinner today. It was a great God conversation. And he's telling me all that's going on, and, chat, 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 chat. And by the way, he wants to buy your car. So there and then, God just resolved that for me. God broke through. Not the way I was expecting, but he showed up. So I'm sure you guys have got tons of examples like that, and you probably have some that you're still waiting on. So this parable could be about waiting for him to turn up in a particular situation for you. And I think as a church, we're waiting, aren't we? We're waiting for breakthrough in our children's ministry. We're waiting for breakthrough in the home groups. We're waiting for breakthrough in Alpha. We're waiting for breakthrough in the community. And we're waiting for God to show up. We're waiting for revival here in this church. We're waiting for revival in the Tri-Cities. We're waiting for revival in the seven cities in the greater region. What else could this parable be about? It could be about between the times. You know, your spiritual walk is kind of like this, right? There's some times when you feel like God is just so close. Everywhere you look, everything you read seems to be just so alive, and God is just speaking to you. You're getting visions, you're dreaming dreams from him, and it's just like he just seems so present. And there's other times when it's like, really? It's just like, I don't know, trudging through mud. You're just like, this is hard work, and it doesn't seem to be alive, and it doesn't seem to be, God just seems to be absent somehow. You just don't feel him like you felt him maybe last week or a couple of months ago. And that's just kind of the way our lives go sometimes. And those are hard times, and those are the times I think of that advice that Pastor Steve and Pam are giving us. Like, those are the times when you don't give up and you don't curse God. What else could this parable be about? It could be about the Lord's assessment. It's in those times when he removes himself and he hides his face from you. He's testing to see what's in your heart. We had almost 2 years of sermons from the book of James from Pastor Steve about trials, as you know, and about dignifying those trials. Don't murmur, don't complain, don't grumble your way through. Learn, be teachable, and deal with the stuff that God is bringing up in you. Deal with it. Don't go around the mountain again. Have him say to you, good job, you did great there. I know with the final judgment, there is going to be a final judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there is going to be a day when we have to give a final account before the Lord, and we're all hoping that we'll get the well done, good and faithful servant. But we can get those little well dones as we go along, when God assesses us, when he allows us to go through trials. And at the end of those trials, hopefully we'll get the good job. Let's move on. So how does this parable apply to you guys? To me? It could apply in probably 100 different ways. Are you between the times? Are you going through a trial? Are you waiting for a particular situation? As a church, I know we're praying for revival. We're praying for breakthroughs. I had a vision probably over a year ago, which I'd like to share. Some of us were standing in this river, and the water was up over our ankles. And as the water came, it came kind of like in small little waves, and we kind of just dealt with those little waves as they came and kind of hopped over them. But I could see way up the river and around the corner, there's a huge wave coming. And the water talks about the Spirit. It's about the waves, the move of God in our lives. And at the time, God was given various words to people about strength and what remains, about keeping your house in order, strengthen the foundations. And I felt like the vision was about, what God showed me was that the vision was about how we were dealing with those little waves. You know, what was in our hearts as we were dealing with them? Is this like, this is great, thank you, God? Or was it, oh, is that it? Or whatever else is in our hearts. You know, we have stuff that comes out and we don't realize sometimes. We're like, ooh, that was in there, that's not so good. But God was just having a look to see what's in our hearts before he releases that big wave that's just up around the corner. So while we are waiting, what are we supposed to do? It says it here in verse 35, it says we should be ready. I pulled out the NIV version because I like how they worded it. It says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So waiting is anything but laziness or inactivity. It's being ready for service, ready to be used at any moment. So are you guys ready? Are you been practicing your spiritual gifts? Have you been keeping them up? Have you been in the Word? Have you been praying? Are you worshiping? Are you doing the stuff you should be doing as a Christian? And I often think of what God has said to a lot of us over the years. It's like, have you done the last thing I've asked you to do? It's kind of like my car story. God put that in my heart to tithe, and I said, oh yeah, that's right, I should do that. And once I did that, then the blessing was released. If we're faithful in the little things, he will give us more. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 1 with you too, if you'd like to turn there. I don't mean this to be condemning in any way when we read this, but this is written for us so that we can learn from other people's mistakes. So let's learn from what happened to Zacharias here. In Luke chapter 1, verse 8, it says, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. So here we have Zacharias. The lot has fallen to him. It's a great honor for them when it happens to go in and burn incense before the altar of the Lord. And he goes in, and an angel appears, not just an angel, but the archangel Gabriel appears before him. And as it's said so many times, whenever an angel appears in the Bible, the first thing they have to say to people is, do not be afraid. So this is like a huge deal to meet an angel. And the angel is prophesying and telling him that what he's prayed for is going to come about. He's going to have a son, but not just the son, but a son that is going to prepare the way for the Lord. But then he starts to argue with an angel. This guy has just come from the throne room of God, and he's arguing, I'm too old. I think you guys have missed it, you know. And because of his unbelief, he gets to miss out on some of the fun of when your wife becomes pregnant and chatting about it and all the excitement and being able to enter into it fully because of his unbelief. So you can ask God for something and then forget about it so that when God answers, you're not ready for it. So let's learn from Zacharias. Let's not be him. Let's continue in prayer and continue to believe. The other part of that verse was about keeping your lamps burning. It's all about the oil. I kept saying that to Brian yesterday. It's all about the oil. It's all about the oil. It's the oil of the Spirit. It's about keeping your relationship with God at a peak, even in the hard times, even when you don't feel him, if you don't feel his presence. Just continue in the Word. Continue to pray. Continue to worship. Continue to share God with other people. Continue to deepen your secret place relationship with him. You can't give that away. It's like, if you know the parable about the 10 virgins, and when he comes back, there's 10 of them, 5 of them have oil and 5 of them don't. You can't borrow oil from the other people. You can't borrow a relationship from somebody else. You have to have your own relationship with God. There's a great quote from R.T. Kendall that I really like. It says, if you miss or show contempt for the little raindrops falling along the way, when the authentic great revival does come, you will miss it entirely. So how is your oil levels? Have you checked them lately? So let's be people who are dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning. So what else are we supposed to do? Well, it tells us in the next verse, verse 36 of Luke 12. Verse 36 says, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. So we wait with eager expectation, because at any moment, God may turn up. Waiting is purposeful. So ask any of the ladies who've just had babies recently. And you're waiting for this baby, you're not sitting on the couch eating bonbons, right, Kelsey? Especially when you've got a toddler to run after. You're getting your house in order. You're getting the crib. You're getting the blankets. You're getting all the supplies. You're reading up. You're going to birthing classes. You're doing all the stuff. It's not, you don't just sit there. Waiting is not sitting. It's being purposeful. It's about getting ready. You're expecting something. So what are you guys praying for? What are you expecting? Are you expecting revival? Is that what you're getting ready for? You guys are going to be the next leaders. When the next wave of people come into this church, you guys are the ones that are going to have to take care of them, who are going to have to disciple them, who are going to help them in their walk. Are you getting ready? So verse 39 is actually like a parable within the parable. It says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. If I was to tell you guys that, hey, let's get together, let's pray for hours every night this week, you know, God may come, he may not, okay? Would you come? Would I come? But if I told you Thursday night, 8 o'clock, that God was going to show up in his fullness and in his glory, would you guys turn up? But that's the point of this parable about the thief coming in the middle of the night. We don't know when he's coming. So will we be found waiting? You'll be glad you waited. So let's determine together to be people who will be waiting for him, that when he comes, you'll find us waiting. Another thing that we can be doing is be watchful. Verse 37 says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Weddings in Israel are long events. When we tell people here about our wedding in Ireland, people think that was a long event. Like from first thing in the morning, all the preparation, 3 hours of a service, reception, you know, and it goes on and on and on until the small hours. Israeli weddings go on for days. It's a long, long, long process. So these guys, the servants in the house, are waiting. They have no idea when the bridegroom's coming back. No idea. And yet they have to be awake and watching. So a better translation for the word watching in that verse is actually keeping awake. Don't say you'll wake up when God shows up. I don't think you will. You'll sleep on and you'll miss it all. There's been a lot of prophetic words actually recently about the church in general in the United States, is that it's asleep and it's time to wake up, church. It's time to wake up because he is coming. In that verse, it also says it's a good thing. It'll be a good thing. If we are found waiting, watching, ready, there's a rich reward. It says you'll be blessed. Blessed are you. Blessed in the Amplified means happy, fortunate, to be envied. It talks about how he'll come in and he'll gird himself and sit down to eat and he'll come and he'll serve you. It's kind of like a role reversal, right? He's the master. We're the servants. And he's the one who's going to serve us. It's kind of like in John 13 where Jesus came and washed the disciples' feet. But he wants to bring restoration. He wants to bring rest. I'd like to look at one more passage of scripture. It's in Habakkuk chapter 2. Or Habakkuk. I don't know how you guys say it. Anyway, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So he says, I will stand my watch. That means you need to spend time in the secret place. You need to be there regularly, developing your relationship with God, deepening it, strengthening it. And set myself on the rampart and watch to see. What's that about? You're looking for God to speak. Watch to see what he will say to me. Listen, because God wants to speak to you. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Write it down. Take a note of what God is speaking to you about. I'm sure lots of you have written down over the years visions and words and dreams that God has given you. And it's such a good thing because when the enemy comes and says to you, did he really say that? Like he said to Adam and Eve, like he said to Jesus in the wilderness, did God really say that? You can point to what he said and go, no, this is what God has said to me. I will not fall into unbelief. I believe the word of God. So make it plain on your tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of time it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. Wait for it. Don't try and make it happen. Don't try and come up with all the answers. God will show up when he wants to show up in the way that he wants to show up. We can't tell him how to do it or when to do it. So just wait for God to bring it to pass. It will not tarry. So I'd like to share one last vision. I think some of you have heard me share this before, but it's been a couple of years. And in the vision, it was like I was up in the air. It's like I had an aerial view. I saw the church down below. And on the church roof, I saw the word Jesus written in red. And I could see the sides of the building were kind of bulging, and it was like smoke or cloud or something was coming out of the doors and seeping out the windows. And I could see as far away as the gas station and the fire station down that way, and I could see people starting to come to the church. Some of them were coming because they wanted healing. Some of them were convicted as they walked past and came to the building. Some of them came because they didn't know why they were coming. They just came. They were drawn. And some of them, as they tried to enter into the building, couldn't walk because of the weighty presence of God in this building. They actually had to crawl because they couldn't stand in the presence of God. That's how they came in. And I felt like God was telling me that the name of Jesus over the building was the fact that Jesus has marked this church for a purpose. We have a destiny. We have a purpose. God has set us here for a reason in this community, in this place. And he wants to come in all his fullness. We've had waves of the Spirit of God come through. We've had waves that have lasted for a while. We've had waves that have been short. We've had waves that have been long. But God wants to come and rest fully in this place. Amen. He wants to bring revival to you guys. He wants to bring revival to this community. He wants to bring revival to the city. He wants to bring revival to this greater seven city region. He wants to come. And he said he's coming. So I want you guys to encourage each other to be ready. Be waiting, purposefully waiting, and be watching. Encourage each other. Brian talked last week about a community. We're in this together. And God will finish what he started. And he will come. He will do what he said he will do. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. He is coming. Amen. So I know there's probably a ministry team. I know Stephen Palmer's supposed to be on this morning, but if any other guys want to come on up, and if there's anything that I said this morning that God convicted you of, come up and get it sorted out before you leave. If you guys have any healing that you need, come up and ask for prayer. But most of all, if you guys need encouragement, maybe you've been sitting on the couch eating bonbons. I don't know. I don't know what goes on in your guys' lives. I know some of you, others I don't know. But if you just need somebody to come alongside you and encourage you to get up, to be in that place of waiting, to be ready, to be watchful, come on up and get some encouragement, get some prayer, and we'll do this together. For he is coming.